Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire. I'm your host Stuart Sutherland, and joining me, the A-train. Have you used that one?
I've used that one a lot of time.
The A-hole. I'm positive I came up with like five of them. I've never written them down. That's three of you used now.
You bitch.
You like the days when it was the easy A?
I do like it, I like the days when I was anonymous. I was just a face that you could talk to.
What, without being a microphone in front of you?
Yeah.
It's like, stop recording my life story, get away from me. So, today's episode we will be covering Beast Stalker from Dante Lam from 2008. The start of our Dante Lam season. I guess a four-part special.
Miniseries.
Aye. As requested from the Podcast and Fire Faithfuls.
Yeah.
If you want to suggest movies to us, you can do it a variety of ways. podcastandfire@googlemail.com, @podcastandfire on Twitter, or facebook.com/POF Network. So, in the meantime, last movies watched. Andy, you're talking about the movie you don't want to talk about.
Aye, it was just so fucking bad. I was suggested it be your cousin. Originally. So I bought it on Blu-ray.
Oh.
And I wish I didn't.
You made the commitment.
I know.
Is this the Tooth Theory?
It fucking is. It's so fucking... It's the worst film ever.
Why?
And
why did you do it?
Again? I was thinking, The Rock's in it. It must be funny.
Ah, you think like it would be charming in the Disney way.
But it isn't a Disney.
Is it not?
No, I thought it was Disney as well. I was like, oh, sorry, it's a Disney film. We'll get off with it.
Aye, because...
20th Century Fox.
Right. Well.
But it's so fucking disgustingly bad. It's like every film, every child's film you've ever seen in your life, it follows the exact same story as every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the only thing that saves it is that fucking big giant bastard that hangs about Ricky Gervais is in it.
Stephen Merchant.
Aye. He's his fucking counsellor that teaches him to be a fucking fairy.
And is he just playing himself, really?
Aye. Basically, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking her that was in Mary Poppins was in it.
Julie Andrews?
The fuck knows. Making an old cow.
Old cow.
Aye. Oh, fuck, she wasn't singing, though.
That's maybe what I needed.
Mm.
If it was a Disney film, they'd probably have been singing.
Right.
So, for what I can mind, I've only seen the trailer to it. Because I know something like he's...
He's an ageing hockey player.
He finds out he's got a son?
No.
Nah?
He's like sleeping around with this fucking woman who's got bairns.
Right.
And she wants him to get more involved in the bairns' fucking lives, and he doesn't want to because he's an old... thinks he's solid.
Yeah, because he's like a rock star.
Right, yeah, because he keeps like signing everything and he can't watch. And then the fucking the lassie's tooth falls out. And fucking he's like in a poker game down the stair while he's watching the lassie. He's like, oh shit, I'm $10 short. He goes up and steals the money out of the lassie's pillow. But he ends up winning it all. And then the bairn starts screaming when the mum comes in and said, oh, the tooth fairy's been, he's taken my tooth. I said, alright, aye. And said, but there's no money. And she's like, the mum starts hating around for it. And he's like sitting there with his big fucking wad of cash and said, how much does your tooth worth to you?
Oh.
And then the mum says, like, be serious to her. And said, alright, tooth fairy doesn't exist.
Oh.
And she kicks him out and then he gets abducted by the tooth fairy aliens.
And becomes a tooth fairy himself.
Aye. But it's just fake. You start to eat toothpaste to shrink.
Right.
Spray yourself with deodorant to go invisible.
Right.
You've got this wee tiny cat horn that makes cats jump up in the sky. Eventually, he gets on with the Lottie. He becomes a good player again. Has a fucking relapse. Brick like talks the shit to the Lottie breaks his guitar, and he goes back. He's fucking Steve Merchant some shit. Calls him, you've not got any wings. That shit. He goes away in a half an hour, comes to playing hockey again. He gets scared, scores his first goal in 9 years, goes back, apologises, becomes best friends, gets married to the mo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just saved you £9.
£9?
How much is a Blu-ray?
I bought a second hand for £3.
Okay, that's it's not that bad a sting then.
I know.
You could just get the hell out of the tape back to work. Trade this in.
I know.
Get 50 pence?
Maybe.
Probably.
If I'm lucky.
I was actually surprised when you were going to talk about Iron Man.
I was leaving that for after your one so we could both talk about it.
Aye, fair enough. So
I thought that's a joint movie we watched together.
Exactly. That I've just buried the lead to.
Oh, you freak. Get that fucking delete it.
I'm not deleting it. I'm just going to have to delete that you punching the microphone.
You failure.
So, last week I caught The Place Beyond the Pines. And we'll add some context here because we've now got a video of Andrew just writhing and tearing in his seat. Like, just see him raging. Like, his blood pressure's going up as we speak. And basically, Andy is one of the
51% of the world population that hate everything to do with this film.
So you hate 50% of the film?
No.
No, well, you just hate Ryan Gosling, basically.
I hate Drive.
You hate Drive?
I hate anything that's anything like Drive.
You hate anything that's anything like Drive, okay.
And this film is like Drive.
Have you seen this film?
No.
Exactly.
But I know it's got to be like Drive, so I'm sorry I'm not watching it.
Nah, it's not like Drive.
I said on the fucking trailer, just like Drive.
Fuck.
It fucking does. Comes up saying Drive. It's like a fucking ta-da.
I would see, like, from a marketing perspective, it would be wise to mention Drive for the folk that like that film. Here's the same guy in another moody film. Like, with dark tones, this is enough to basically pull folk back into it. But it's basically the story of Luke Ganton, with Ryan Gosling, who's like a...
Even his name makes me want to turn it off.
He's a motorbike.
Motorbike.
A motorbike stunt driver.
Oh! not like driver, is it?
I'm more like stunt rider, not driver.
Yeah, not like driver, he's a fucking stunt driver in a car.
Aye, alright, I forgot about that. But he's basically a circus, he works with a circus, so he does it's sort of like the ball of doom, where it's like the big gladiator balls that they're running, right. But they've got three guys on motorcycles all driving around at the same time, crossing over each other,
right.
And he's like the heartthrob of the group. Oh, surprise, surprise. And he basically, this is him, I forget the town that it's set in, but he's obviously in a travelling circus, so it's been a year since he was last there, and Eva Mendes shows up and basically tells him, like, you got me pregnant, we've got a kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's knocked him for sex. He's trying to say, right, okay, I'll be a good dad.
Did
like,
you sit and look at the window for a wee while?
I wouldn't say no. I would say no. It's not like that at all, right? And then you watch it, and there's that bit.
He's sitting there for 10 minutes, looking at the window, looking all moody and contemplating.
Like, fuck, I've got a kid.
Yeah.
So she basically, he basically said, right, I'm going to quit the circus. I'm going to get a decent job. I'm going to provide for this kid. And he goes to like Eva Mendes' house and tells her, and she's actually got her own man, they've got their own house, their life's perfect, it's on track, she's got a job, she's going to school and all that, she's making her life better.
Yeah.
But he keeps showing up and getting in the face of like her black husband, just just saying, well, I'm the kid's dad, I need to be here, I'm part of his life, this and the next. And he said, well, where were you to begin with? And they're just getting all that nonsense. So
yeah. He
tries to get like a job, he meets up with an old man in the woods who runs like a garage, just like Drive. He works in the garage.
Yeah.
And but it's
there's no work out and he goes and robs a bank.
Pretty much. Like there's their
Drive.
Aye, but he does it for himself.
You're doing it's not like Drive, but it's not exactly like Drive.
Okay,
I can tell you what happens in it. before you tell me.
The first 45 minutes of my drive.
Right.
So it is a case of you kind of make a decent, like, a decent living doing an honest job.
Right.
So as Paolo suggests, and like, well, you're skilled riding the bike, you could easily just rob banks. So they get into the habit of going around all the banks in the area,
right,
driving the bike up, basically going in with a motorcycle, helmet on, gun, bag, gets them to spread the money out, money in the bag, then leaves. He drives the bike, and basically his pal's waiting in a pickup truck for him to drive into, then the truck just drives past the police and nibbies the wiser.
Yeah.
So they start turning over banks, and he starts showing up at the kid's house with like a new crib and toys, and but he's not welcome in the house, so he assaults the, basically the husbands.
Yeah.
So he gets in trouble, goes to prison and things like that, gets bailed out, and he thinks, right, I'm going to rob 2 banks in one day and be done with it. And basically that's when the story changes perspective to Bradley Cooper, who's the rookie cop that encounters him robbing the bank. And basically, it stops there and continues with him now.
Right.
So he basically becomes a hero, but he gets shot in the line of duty. So, but he's like the toast of the town. Everything thinks he's the hero, but like he gets basically let into an inner circle amongst this police squad led by Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
And basically, it's corrupt cops. Like they go to Eva Mendes's house and basically search and looking for like bank money and all this.
Yeah.
And basically threaten her agent Muller, saying like, there's like, you've not got a warrant again, here. I bet your mother's
thought you said Asian.
Asian, no.
Fucking hell, how diverse is this woman?
So as Casey is like, you've not got a warrant to be here, and I bet your mum's not got papers to be here. So just go make me a coffee. And so they all back down, and that's Bradley Cooper being let into the group, saying, we've done you a favour. So when we need a favour from you, like, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So, and like, Bradley Cooper's like this earnest cop, like, right, I want to do the right thing here, and like,
yeah,
sure, I'm a hero, but I feel like it, corruption's going on around me, and I just didn't like it, I didn't like this going on, so he reports it to his superior.
Right.
And the superior's corrupt as well. And
yeah,
it's like,
that's
it's like, why the fuck are you biting the hand that feeds? And it just cuts to this great shot of him leaving the police station. And there's like his superior standing beside Ray Liotta talking. They're just both staring them down.
Yeah.
And there's like Ray pulls him over and says, just follow us. Like, we're going to talk about something. Just tail my car. And they're just driving him into the woods. And it's just like this dark music. It's just like this bass, just, well, someone playing bass. And the soundtrack's done by Mike Patton, who's that Faith No More singer.
I never listened to that.
Aye. But he was the lead singer of that group and half a dozen other groups. But it's sort of like the trend of rock star turned composer like Trent Reznor and things like that. And he does, it's just like an eerie soundtrack. Like, just, you can, something bad's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You just get this feeling in your stomach and he feels it as well. So as soon as he pulls up, he fucks off. And then it fast forwards 15 years later, and it focuses on the story of like 2 kids in high school.
It'll just make me want to watch even less.
It's part of me, I guess this is actually going to be a bitch to edit because I'm spoiling quite a lot of it by telling you, but I feel like I need to tell you it all to convince you it's worth watching.
You only work.
It is a really good film. I keep saying I'll buy it when it comes out, and then it comes out and like, I'll wait for it to get a bit cheaper. But it is like, only the third act feels long. Like the first, the story of Ryan Gosling and the story of Bradley Cooper work really well. At the end, like this last half when it focuses on these 2 kids,
mm-hmm,
like I think that's the longest part of the film.
Right.
Focuses on them, and it just sort of,
how long is this film?
2 hours and 10.
So it'll be like 20 minutes or something, maybe Gosling.
It's about 45 and then whatever's left for 40. The rest. Aye. So, but it feels like it has like a big, well, it takes a while to build up really.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at my watch and it was like near enough on the 45 minute mark and Gosling falls out the window. But yes, it's no, essentially, it's not a drive. It is worth checking out. It's a good Ryan Gosling film, but it's a really good Bradley Cooper film.
So I'll fast forward 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Oh, 40 minutes. Just watch the last 5 minutes.
Aye, you'll see him getting shot.
Aye.
Repeat it a couple of times.
It's, they call the motorcycle stuff that are done like really good at this, or like his chase sequences are really well done. And
so it's not, so it's like Fast and Furious.
No, that's what people thought Drive was going to be. So
that's what people hoped it would be.
So yes, it is definitely worth seeing. I think it's getting to the point where it's probably, well, by the time this is online, it'll be too late to catch it in theatres and things like that.
Yeah,
we just caught it in like just a wee independent cinema.
Yeah,
that just shows like not mainstream stuff essentially. It was that or The Promised Land, which is like a Matt Damon movie about gas. Fuck mining gas.
Gas. I like,
not wind.
I thought it was just the most sitting around a campfire eating beans.
No. So it's like Matt Damon and fucking Jim for the American Office in another drama about.
Yeah.
And so it was either that or that, but I quite enjoyed it. I would get around to getting it eventually. It's just the last half leaves you a little bit like kind of wishing it hurries up. But I think that's just sometimes the director just wants to keep it going. No, they can. But it has definitely made it to be like Drive to pull that audience in.
Yeah.
But as usual, it's, sometimes it's never what the trailer looks like it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
But no, it is a really well done film. So other than that, I'm just going to keep talking about why it's good.
You just keep saying, repeating the same thing
right, that's me putting a cap on it. Wait, I forgot about this bit. Right. Then, right, I'll put a cap on it. Wait, I'm going to talk about this bit. Post-production, man. It all seems better in the end. Mm. I'll only say that once. And you won't say nothing at all during that segment.
No, I won't cut it.
Like, I love Drive.
You bastard.
Gosling, cock, Gosling. I'm just a big pussy cat for Gosling.
Fucking gay.
And other than that, we went Iron Man 3's.
Alright.
Toy Savage.
It's kind of like Drive, but 150 million times better.
Where he's not driving a car, he's driving a suit.
Yeah, he does drive a car. His usual Audi.
His e-tron.
Aye.
Which was his fucking car advert you see on TV all week. He's like, "What am I? Iron Man. I'm Tony Stark and I drive cars." He's like, "Really?" He's like, "You're not going to sell me unless this car turns into that fucking suit."
No. Who the fuck's got the money to buy one of these fucking cars as well?
Does it have Google Maps on it?
Probably.
So yes, Shane Black's Iron Man 3.
Who?
Shane Black, the director.
Is that his name? I didn't care.
Aye.
I just assume they're all the exact same. No, the director does all superhero movies. They all just look the same. But
no, it's not Joss Whedon or Christopher Nolan.
Oh well.
But the first two Iron Man was Jon Favreau.
Right.
Happy Hogan. His butler. Mind. Happy Hogan.
Oh, he's bodyguard, then.
Aye,
all right.
Bodyguard. That's Jon Favreau.
Right.
Aye, he directed the first two.
Right.
And basically, I take him why he didn't want to do the third one, but he said he would still be in the third one at least.
Yeah.
So Shane Black is more of a writer than a director. The only film he's done is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is another film with Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to be quite good, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So, I think if anyone was sceptical with a new director for Iron Man 3.
No, it's like a death.
Mm-hmm.
Like a death of a franchise kind of thing.
Aye,
if the director doesn't know what to do, who the fuck is it getting done?
Mm-hmm. So, I think if he wrote and directed it, but
yeah,
the story basically is Tony Stark is kind of still not getting past the days of New York.
Yeah.
He's haunted by the memories of
your fucking
aliens
like
and space.
Shell shock.
Aye. And just that.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm trying to think, since it's really, really new, by the time this goes out, it'll still be quite new.
Well, like, we can't talk about the main thing.
We can't spoil it. I find the ground for spoilers is, if it's in the trailer, you could talk about it.
The Mandarin's in it.
Aye. played by Ben Kingsley.
Sir
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, even though I do can.
Why?
Why?
So, yes, he plays the role of Mandarin, basically the new face of terrorism.
Yeah. Alright, I didn't get it. In the comics, is he no Asian?
Aye.
Why is he getting made out to be like an Afghanistani guy?
Well, Mandarin obviously just tells you, right, this is of Asian descent. He's got something to do with it. Ben Kingsley is an Asian to begin with. But it's weird when he was first clued in and said, right, we've got Ben Kingsley on Iron Man, everyone thought, is he going to be the Mandarin?
Mm-hmm.
So they can, I've not looked up a picture of the Mandarin in the comics. So if it is a very similar...
Get some elevator music on. I'm going to do it there.
So, I reckon if he is basically, very similar looking to the Mandarin...
I kind of had the same kind of look. He had, the hair and the rings and stuff.
Aye.
That's a bad photo of the Mandarin.
Oh, you got the orange!
Motherfucker. Did I Google Mandarin? Because it just gives you loads of oranges and a fucking duck. Because there's folk like Mandarin ducks. That was basically the image of the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a fuck off suit. It looks like Iron Man's suit, but just like a fucking shawl.
Aye.
Got black hair, looks angry old bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his element rings. Which one are you fucking... I'm not saying that. the rings. you can't even goes into telling you what the powers each ring's got. Right, I'm not going into that.
So that is one of one of Iron Man's nemesis.
Nemesis.
Aye.
Nemesis.
The other one is.
You didn't even see him in the trailer.
Okay.
Do you?
They think so, but I think he was always there's all the news about him joining the cast. Guy Pearce playing a character from Tony's past.
What was his name? It was a fucking gay-ass name. Horatian or something.
It was something like Alistair.
Damn, name it Alistair!
It's A.
Aiton Man. See? Motherfucker. Right, they'll tell you the name because you're a dick. Aldrich Killian!
Alright.
I was half right and you were half wrong.
So yes. And that's basically the scientist Tony shunned back in Sweden.
Yeah.
Switzerland.
They don't know what Switzerland means.
He had a party in Switzerland where he slept with somebody. Spoilers!
Aye. He impregnated a plant.
I guess it's also the same if it happened in the first 5 minutes. Although I guess if they killed the Iron Patriot in the first 5 minutes, that would be a spoiler.
Imagine saying that. You just spoil the film for every cunt.
It's just in case Thames Tower wanted to come back, they just killed Don Cheadle.
Yeah. I thought it was Cheeto.
I think there was a D in it. Cheeto.
I thought it was just like Cheeto.
Like Cheeto.
Like the crisps. Eat the fucking, what was it? Cheetos. Cheetos. Don Cheeto.
Yeah, that's if he'd sold his soul to marketing. Like Don's Cheetos.
Probably sitting there fucking cuddling the fucking cheetah.
Dressed as the fucking Iron Patriot. Just shoots a bag of crisps open. Push them through my mouth slit.
CZ tongue pull.
Tony Stark going mad. I was like, you got crumbs in the suit again! Jesus!
And that wee fucking disabled horn comes out with the hoover. Trying to fucking do that.
The fucking dust buster shoving into his mouth.
It's an Iron Man dust buster, so it's so powerful it sucks his lungs out. That's how he dies in the film.
So, there's no much to say about the story. It's just Mandarin is threatening to kill the president, and Tony Stark gets on the road and says, basically, try and take me on. And then
they fuck him up.
They blow up his fucking Malibu mansion.
Yeah. Which I didn't understand how Nakan Kins, that's where he stayed.
Aye. maybe not the exact address. I think he's on a mountain in Malibu, but I didn't know the postcode.
Yeah, that was just stupid.
So, other than the story, what did you think of the film?
Awesome.
Yeah. I think there's that wee comprehension of what's going to happen. Like the trailers give it the look of it's a dark Iron Man movie. Everything's sort of like a post Dark Knight Rises. Everything's like your comic book movie needs to be a little more serious now.
Yeah.
But it did it a different direction. And it's one of the great things where you watch the trailer and I've got an idea what happens.
Yeah.
And you watch the movie and it's not what you think at all. So.
Like Drive.
Yes! Yeah. It was the Fast and Furious enough for you.
No, it was the fucking good enough for me.
So, yeah, I, without spoiling it, it was a strong film. The part at the end when you have 40 odd Iron Man suits.
Aye, all fighting ourselves.
Aye, fighting the enemies.
Yeah.
I guess that got hinted when his new suit was called the Mark 42, so there's obviously 41.
Is it not 47?
Ah, one or the other. So there's 40 odd suits somewhere.
Yeah.
And I thought there was gonna be a big deal about basically the Hulkbuster suit. I talked about essentially that you see for 3 seconds in the film.
Yeah.
It's just the Hulk shaped suit running. Just running in the trailer at least.
Yeah.
And you thought, right, so is this him thinking, I might have to fight Hulk one day.
Right.
I'll be ready. But it was a good film, good bad guys, twist you weren't expecting, different directions.
Yeah, I never expected that at all.
Aye. I didn't expect cameo appearance with fucking Johnny Depp.
Oh.
An aging Johnny Depp.
Agent Johnny
Depp.
I blew my mind with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. It was I'll edit that a bit, but
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Aye.
No Johnny Depp, because Johnny Depp's no British. Don't tell me you're one of the folk that actually thinks he talks like Captain Jack Sparrow at the time.
What am I thinking of then? I thought he was Welsh. Not Welsh. English?
No, he's American.
His kids are in England, though.
Oh, he probably lives. He's probably one of the cunts
that
lives in there. I'm
probably.
Sure he's American.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fucking search it.
Aye.
I'll just look at the Iron Man credit since he's in it. Spoiler. what's his name?
Johnny Depp.
I just put Joe and it works.
Joe Depp.
Should
be at the very top. Tell him where he was born.
Owensboro, Kentucky.
Not what anyone expected. Oh well, puss shut.
Right.
So.
Loser.
Just back for the dicks you are.
I've got bolts here. I'll smite the puss with them.
So yes, this is the Iron Man talk at all.
No.
But. There's not much we can say. It's too early.
Aye, we can't spoil it for all.
Exactly.
Time. Wait till the next episode, then we'll fucking ride it to death.
But no, good film.
Aye.
If you like the first two, and if you like your Marvel movies, it's worth your money.
Worth seeing at the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
If it's independent, then go to Odeon. Fuck Odeon. Fuck Cineworld. Fuck View. Go to your nearest independent cinema, because then you get your value for money. If you've got them, if not, just spend the money.
Aye.
It's like 16 quid. So just do it.
Aye. Go see an IMAX 3D for 20 quid.
Aye. Do it.
Give us Thor now. That's it.
Aye.
So, we'll take a break now. Have a look at Beaststalker. Then continue. Beaststalker from 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
Director Dante Lam.
Is it?
It says it right there on the DVD case.
Stop looking at the case, you should already know this.
Bust your shot.
No.
Give me your phone back, I need the plot.
You fucking dick cheese.
So, the plot is a cop played by Nick Say is responsible for the death of a young girl, of a little girl. I rewrite it as I talk it.
You're fucking bad at this reading, malarkey.
I'm bad at reading. Okay, word for word. Nick Say is a cop who is responsible for the death of a little girl after trying to bring down the gangster.
Don't mock it. You can't read.
I don't. I'm just reading. It's like, no, that's badly put together. You should see read my reviews. The fucking grammar's terrible.
I know. Don't cry. You're on a podcast.
Nick Say is a cop.
Really?
That's my impression of Jason Statham. I just shout things at you.
Alright.
So, Nick Say is a cop who is responsible for the death of a little girl when trying down to bring...
Fucking working with amateurs here. Amateurs.
Talk, boy.
Right. That Nick Say cunt is a policeman. He's responsible for killing a wee girl after trying to bring down a gangster. A year on, the trauma of killing that girl still lingers heavily on his conscience. But when the gangster faces trial, he orders the kidnapping of the the prosecutor's daughter, which will escalate in ways one cannot even imagine.
Thank you for that inspired reading.
No way. I've used all my fucking words today. I can't speak anymore.
That was all your English user was. So, Andy.
What?
What did you think of Beast Stalker?
Right, aye. It was good. The action at the start was really good. That was the only thing, the problem. I thought it was going to be more fast-paced all the way through the film.
Slowed down a bit in the middle.
Yeah, it slowed down a lot. And picked up at the end again. But it was pretty good, good story.
Maybe that was the thing, like, in the middle they were just trying to pad out the story.
Try to make it a long film instead of just a wee...
Because it was just shy of it. 2 hours? And I guess it is, like, you're giving this fast-paced start just to... give off basically the death of a young girl, why Nick Say's traumatised for being a hot-headed cop and fucking taking action before thinking why does all that shit is basically he's an idiot, he's hot-headed and it gets him into trouble, like that costs the life of the young girl and all.
No, it was even fucking void in the kid, there was a bitch in the boot. Why did not just with the gangsters go just chuck her out the fucking door? Door's open, grab her, whoosh, and then you're off.
You've got a skint knee, you've not taken 3 bullets.
Yeah.
I've done you a favour, little girl.
A gangster.
Then he drives away.
Into a fucking, then gets shot to death.
Aye.
I just don't understand how he survived that crash.
Oh, and his head going through the window.
His face was stuck in glass.
Well, that's the thing, you'd probably die when you go through and hit what's on the other side. That's you being stopped.
No, it's the glass you're supposed to kill you. The fucking fucking neck snap's gone through the fucking glass. That cunt's got a solid head.
Maybe his name was nicknamed Hardhead Chung.
Maybe.
So. But no, I've quite enjoyed it.
Right.
As you said, it's got good action scenes, like all the car chases and car crashes at the start.
Yeah.
When looking like at the special features, you realise it wasn't all just cars hanging on a green screen. Yeah. You actually got physical...
Putting a roll cage.
Aye, putting the cars and actors in roll cages and rolling them down the road.
Yeah.
Cameras attached to the bonnet and...
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, it seems like it's just well put together, like... Because I guess you'd always find it hard for those action scenes of like crash and then obviously it's being filmed in slow motion and they've just trying to look serious as you're being thrown from one side of the car to the other, pretending you're in a car accident.
That was well done.
Aye.
There was just the fake glass. That was
they were just dusted with CGI glass.
I could have done better. They could have just made it real glass.
Just for some risk, smashing bottles in the top of the can.
Risk the lives of the actors. That's what makes films real.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Dick. This will get you a Best Actor award.
So, as we said, our cast... Well, as we've not said, the cast includes Nixie as Sergeant Tong Fei.
Tong Fei?
His assistant, well, the other cop in the movie, Sun, is played by Dick Loy. Liu? Loy Kai Chi, who was last seen him in SPL. Killzone with Donnie Yen. He was like one of the cops in that movie as well. He always seems to be like the cop in movies. Like that's probably just the role he just fits into.
What other films could you do in for Hong Kong? Famous police films that come out.
So that's him. The main protagonist.
Main protagonist?
Bad guy.
One-eyed fucking gnome.
Nick Chung plays Hung King.
Hung King?
Aye, Hung and King.
Oh, he's a king and he's hung. That's his luck.
Not if you get in a car accident or your wife. And then you're one-eyed Chung.
One-eyed Hung King Chung.
Oh no, I guess. What was... They just called him Grey Eye.
Aye, Grey Eye Ball.
Grey Eye Ball Bag.
That's what I called him.
I was just thinking, Scarface. Easy enough, you've got
right.
Scarface. So, obviously he's the bad guy who kidnaps the young girl. And, well, he's described as a mercenary.
Yeah.
Basically, does what he's done for the money to support him and his crippled wife.
Right.
Paralysed wife.
Paralysed, sorry.
Aye.
Quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm. Other... Let's see, notable names. Well, we've got the prosecutor?
Yeah.
An Gao, played by Zhang Jingchu.
Who's also the mother of the dead child.
Aye.
And kidnapped child.
Yes. Twins.
Are they?
Oh, okay. Yes. Just two young girls.
Oh, sorry, I don't know what I say, you're racist. But.
No, but she's done a few films. Positive, aye. She was... Soo Young in Rush Hour 3. Remember Rush Hour 1, there was a little girl that got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then Rush Hour 3, she was all grown up.
With tits.
Yeah, that was her tits.
Right.
Mm. That's your equivalent. Like, how do you know they're grown up? Got tits.
Yeah. Can't tell with Asian women, they're so fucking... He was white. He was young and white.
Okay.
Fuck you.
But I have to admit, like, I just warn you to watch further Dante Lam movies.
Aye.
If they're of similar grade.
Aye, they'll go be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like Adam Sandler, who is like all the same actors put in these films?
It's kind of that. I know, I'm pretty sure Steel Pigeon, the film that followed after it, is the same cast.
Oh, but so is it related? Like,
no,
in the same world?
Not,
same characters?
No. As far as I know, it's not. I'm believing it. It's all switched around in that sense. That maybe Nick Chung's the good guy and Nick Say's the bad guy. And,
right.
Like, they've swapped seats, essentially.
Right.
But, no, I have to admit, quite enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it came out in 2008 and it had a UK release in maybe 2011. And it always got like good remarks for the people I know that have watched it.
Yeah.
So it was good to finally actually getting around to seeing it, because a lot of film weren't going to send it to me.
Oh, boo.
So that is our main names at least.
All those means.
Main.
What is the name of the child that plays the children?
It is Wong Suk Yin and Wong Sum Yin.
Oh, they were actually twins. I thought they would have just done a fucking Lindsay Lohan and just had one lassie playing the two parents, because you never see them at the same time together.
Mm-hmm. On to some trivia.
Trivia?
When it comes to the awards, the movie won 9 awards and was nominated for 7 further awards.
Amongst those awards, Nick Chung won 5 Best Actor awards. Scarface done good on this haul.
Motherfucker.
Oh no, the pooping the pips.
Dumb motherfuckers peeping all the time. Run!
Wait, send it.
Send holy fuck, the, we're working, bitch!
The pregnant woman out to get the shot.
Special place in hell for you, son.
And amongst the other awards, Dante Lang got Best Director and Dick Loy got Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, and Dick Loy, the Polish one.
Son, the special cop that works in the gun range.
Aye, the fucking, he's pal.
Aye, he's pal.
Fuck, that's what CD and you've got like, the special son. He's like, he's not his son, he's older than
no,
him.
His name's Son. Oh.
His son. So he's an old cunt, isn't he? His son.
I tell you.
Asians have weird names, why?
Well, I've got to work with.
Shut your boss.
So, internet's reactions. Stop scratching yourself.
Alexia, I scratched too hard.
Where are bear claw?
Yeah, club.
IMDb rated Beastalker 6.8 out of 10 based on 1,087 votes.
That's gosh.
So,
above average. I'd say it should be a bit better.
Mm-hmm. And Rotten Tomatoes, not yet scored. It's only received one fresh review. So, it wasn't big on the old Rotten Tomato radar.
No.
Let's see how it'll do on ours.
My Rotten Tomato. What fruit would you use instead of tomato? What fruit do you love to rot?
I guess apples, buy them, never eat them.
I reckon what I would say. Cucumbers. This is why he was by a big bastard and cucumber, and it gets like a quarter of it, and then it just the rest of it is liquefied.
let's see, where's our spreadsheet?
Rotten cucumber.
That's what we should do.
What?
Have our own review website called the Mash Toy.
No, Mash Toy. Well, what's gonna be good and what's not gonna be good? It's gonna be good if it's mashed, or is it gonna be good if it's fucking raw? Raw daughter.
It's either boiled or mashed.
No, I do like boiled, so that's the bad one.
Is the roast totty? That's a good thing. Being the roast totty. Okay, Andy, time to rate Beastalker in the chart. Stop touching the table.
Shut your boss. Let me see it.
Would you rate Beastalker?
Is this mine?
It is indeed. Will you put it in the top 10?
Could be. And at number 7.
Number 7?
Yes.
Knocking down.
Bittersweet Life.
Alright.
Right,
so, for me, I would... I think I would have to put Beastalker in at number 8.
8.
Aye. Pushing down Iron Monkey.
Aye.
Well, actually, no.
No.
Is it better than Once Upon a Time in China 2?
Depends what you prefer, period films or fast-paced cop movies.
It's, alright. I find it probably better than Once, that's sacrilegious, but no.
Yeah.
Better than Once Upon a Time in China 2, but not better than Once Upon a Time in China 1, which is above it at number 6.
Yeah.
So Beastalker at number 7.
7 as well.
Jewel 7s.
Right.
Have a look at the full list. Go to podcastonfire.com. And on the homepage there, the top bar reads Scottish Podcast on Fire Asian Cinema Asian Movie Chart.
Asian Cinema Asian Movie Chart?
No. The Scottish Podcast on Fire Asian Movie Chart.
That's better.
Located at the top top of the page on podcastonfire.com.
Yeah.
see our recent entries, ratings.
Rattle off the top five.
It'll be the same as the last podcast.
Did we do it on the last podcast?
Both Legends of the Fist have not made the top fives either, so our top five have remained the same since I Saw the Devil and, well, based on our last What's Korean Cinema episode.
Yeah.
So again, full lists at podcastonfire.com. So that is our rating of the movie. Other than that, availability, it is available in the United Kingdom through Cine Asia.
So it could be fucked.
Administration, but so those are available
anywhere you want.
Yeah, online. I don't think it's streaming on Netflix yet, but it is available on UK DVD and Blu-ray. And since the company has folded, I'm pretty sure
you get cheap as fuck.
Aye. So easily accessible for those out there that want a gay beast stalker piece.
What? Did you say gay beast stalker's piece?
Widely available for those wanting a gay.
Oh, gay. I'm not used to you talking fucking with a Scottish tongue. Your name is a posh cow.
I'm quite a posh cow on my podcast. But no, yes. Widely available on Blu-ray. But no. Right. Just buy it at Amazon, alright?
It's on Italy. Buy it for fuck's sake.
Co-hosts.
Fuck you. Ironing board's your next fucking co-host.
So, other than that, that's us.
I think so.
Again, podcastonfire.com for all your podcast on fire needs.
Yep.
Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/POF Network. Twitter.com/podcastonfire.
Alright.
iTunes, you could rate us 5 stars. Please.
Please, we need a fucking stars.
I do believe the more ratings we get on our podcast feed, the higher it is going up in charts, but I don't think we'll ever get anywhere in our charts, really, to be honest. But nothing wrong with a little bit of feedback.
Yeah.
If you curse us, we'll curse you.
Is none of this shit on YouTube?
No. That's a lot of work. Just putting audio into video and then uploading video.
Right. No, I don't care. It's just us.
We're looking for alternative addresses.
Yeah.
Nah, there's no.
No, just kidding, you get some fucking internet monies.
Oh, right. That sounds interesting, though.
Right.
Other than that, you can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can download Stitcher on your iPad, iPhone, and I think maybe most Android devices as well.
Probably.
So you can stream us on the move.
Awesome.
Other than that,
that's us done.
Aye. I've been your host, Stuart Sutherland. Joining me for this episode is the
a-hole,
Andy Walker.
Fuck you. That's the worst one here. A-hole. I'm not getting mine to flip this table.
And we'll just save that file there before we lose it.
Okay. Oh.